following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the beginning of a brand new series we're launching today entitled Uncommon. Come on, everybody say Uncommon. Uncommon. And in this series, we're going to learn about doing relationships God's way. And so this material that we're going to cover in this series, if applied, really has the ability to transform every single relationship that you have in your life. We live in a society that really has given us faulty tools that will ultimately destroy the closeness that God intends for us to have in our relationships. So how do we have healthy relationships in a culture that really has taught us all the wrong way to do things? You know, how do we have relationships that show love, that show grace, that show mercy, that exhibit forgiveness? And so we're going to talk about that throughout this series. Our theme scripture, we're going to look at it every single week, but our theme scripture for this series is found in Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you've got your Bible, I encourage you to open along and follow along with us, your smart device. I'm going to read it out of the Message, which is a paraphrase translation, but I really like the way that it says this. In some of the subsequent weeks, we'll look at it in some different versions, but we're going to pick up in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. It says this: "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering." And so listen, God wants to be a part of our everyday lives. In fact, I believe that we can insert words into this verse like, take your dating. Somebody said amen. Take your parenting, take your friendships, take your communication, take your Snapchatting. Somebody really needs to say amen there, right? Take your work, your home, your social life, the things you put on social media. Take all of those things, all of these ordinary things that make up our lives. We need to take them before God as an offering. Moving on, it says, embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture. And that's really the key. Don't become so adjusted to culture that you fit into it without even thinking. And that's really the danger that we face, is when we simply set our lives on cruise control. You know, we look around us and we see broken relationships. We see broken marriages. We see severed friendships. And without giving it a second thought, we simply assume that's just the way it's supposed to be. That's just the way it's always going to be. But I encourage you, before blindly following the world's model, just hit the pause button. And I encourage you to ask this question: is that God's best for my life? Now, don't become so well adjusted to the culture that you fit into it without even considering God's way. Going on, it says, instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. And so I don't know if you would agree with me, but when it comes to relationships, we live in a world that has gone completely crazy. Completely crazy. So Paul comes along and he encourages us to pause, to change our perspective, to hit the reset button. And I believe that there are those of us in this room here this morning who we need a reset in our relationship with our spouse. We need a reset with our children, with our siblings, with our extended family members, maybe even a reset with a difficult coworker. And so in this Uncommon series, God is wanting to teach us how to start over and do relationships His way. Going on in Hebrews 1 and 2, it says, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. Does that not sound like the world we live in today? God brings the best out of you. He wants to develop well-formed maturity within you. And so today we're going to be talking about the subject of uncommon love. Everybody say uncommon love. I think it's perfect timing because on Tuesday we're going to be celebrating Valentine's Day. You know, there's going to be lots of chocolate and cards and flowers and red hearts. How many of you have already bought a gift for your Valentine? Let me see your hands. How many of you were like, oh, shoot, it's Valentine's Day? Don't raise your hand if your spouse is sitting next to you, all right? Yeah, it's Tuesday. Just public service announcement for you guys. Tuesday's Valentine's Day. I asked Shyla the other day what she wanted for Valentine's Day, and she said, she goes, I want chocolate. And I was thinking, wow, I'm going to get off so easy this year. I can do that. And as soon as that thought went through my mind, she went on to say, and how many of you know that's, and diamonds. It was plural, too. And silk. And silver. And then I just stopped her. I said, is that all that you want? So hopefully your list, really, she was just goofing off. Hopefully your list is a little bit easier than that. I want to make a quick disclaimer here this morning. Maybe you're in a season right now that Valentine's Day is not really a special day. It might actually even be a hurtful day. And can I tell you, that's okay. I remember all through middle school and in my early years of high school, I wasn't the cool, well-dressed, handsome man that I am now. I never had a Valentine's, ever. And it was in my freshman or sophomore year of high school, my close friend Brian asked me after school on Valentine's Day, he said, who's your Valentine? And I said, no one. He said, well, that's not good. He said, who do you want your Valentine to be? So I kind of shyly responded. I said, Danielle Del Monte. She was a girl in my biology class that I had a really big crush on. And even though I liked her, being extremely shy, not very popular, I wasn't brave enough to ever even talk to her other than like kind of nodding my head when she'd walk into class. And so my friend said to her, he said, well, I'm taking you to the flower shop and you're going to buy a flower and we're going to go take it to her. We lived in a really small town then, so everyone knew where everybody lived. And you know, I wasn't a stalker or anything. That's the reason we knew where she lived was because everybody knew where everybody lived. And so even, before I even had an opportunity to think about it, we were in the car driving to pick up a flower for Danielle, a girl whom I had never said more than a sentence to. And so at the florist, I picked out a nice big red carnation. I only had a paper out, so I couldn't afford a rose. And I splurged, though I had them add a fern and a piece of baby's breath, and they wrapped it up all nicely and handed it to me. And I'm not gonna lie, I was feeling really good about myself. I mean, I walked out of the thing like, I am the man. And you know, we jumped into the car, headed over to Danielle's house, and only then did it hit me. Oh crud! I'm stuck. I've got the flower. I'm in my friend's car. He's driving. There's no way out of this. And I developed, how many of you ever had this where you develop a knot in your throat like the size of a bowling ball? Like I couldn't even swallow. And so we pull up in front of her house and I started making excuses. You know what, Brian? I don't think this is a really good idea. You know what? Just take me home. I'm going to give this to my mom. She'll be so happy. Mom will always be my Valentine's no matter what happens. And my friend says, you know what, you need to man up and you need to go give this to Danielle. And so took every ounce of strength that I had. I got out of the door, out of the car trembling. Timidly, I walked up to the front door. My heart was beating so hard. In fact, even now thinking about it, it's starting to do the same thing. I swear it was beating so hard you could see my shirt bouncing, and it wasn't because of my strong pectoral muscles, all right? My heart was like ready to, you know, beat right out of my rib cage. And with every ounce of courage that I had, I knocked on the door, hoping that nobody answered. But then Danielle opened the door, and with a surprised look, I awkwardly said, Happy Valentine's Day, turned away and stuck the flower up in her face. And that's when it got really bad. She stood there not knowing what to say. I stood there not knowing what to say. Obviously, I hadn't thought any of this through. And so I did the real manly thing, which was awkwardly turn and run off the porch. Never to speak to Danielle ever again in my life. I'm glad you guys had a laugh at my expense. It wasn't funny then, I can tell you that. Listen, there are times and seasons in life when this particular day doesn't mean too much. And so I tell you that story just to tell you, we've all been there. At least that's what I tell myself. Some of you guys are probably so cool that, you never had an experience like that. But anyway, that's where I'm. How many of you here have a special song with your spouse or significant other? Let me see your hands. Wow, not as many of you as I thought. You know, what, 20, 25% of you? Shyla and I have a song. Our song is an old school song. We actually sang it to each other at our wedding. It's Always by Atlantic Star. Can you hear it? Girl, you are to me. Yeah. All that a woman should be. And I dedicate my life to you all. Yeah, that was it. That was the song right there. While there is no requirement in our relationships to have a special song, the truth is we all need God's love if our relationships are going to succeed. Unfortunately, because so many of us have the wrong definition of love, we need to get a new understanding of what true love really is. And there's really no better place to start than at the origin of love, and that is God. 1 John 4:8 tells us, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And so I'm going to tell you this morning, love is not something that we came up with. It's not something that the Hallmark Company invented to sell more greeting cards. That's Swedish, Dave, all right? The origin of love is God. And if God is the author of love, then it's essential that we look to his word, that we look to this book and see how we are actually to love. Our world is so confused about this topic. We've actually redefined, our society has redefined the word love to mean lust. We've redefined it to mean convenience. We've defined it to mean compromise and selfishness. So what actually is God's love? What does it really look like? John 3:16, the most famous passage of scripture says this, for this is how God loved the world. That he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God loved. Therefore, he did something about it. The response to love we find throughout the Bible is not having an emotion. I want to tell you this morning, love is not feeling butterflies in your stomach. Oh, I'm in love. Yeah, I'm in love. Oh, this is so wonderful. Listen, that's not love. Love really is a verb. And the verb really is the word give. It's give. At its core, true love gives. So here are a few things about God's love that I want you to write down in your outline if you follow along with us. Here's the first one. God's love is unconditional. It's unconditional. If we're going to hit the reset button on our relationships, then we need to realize that God loves us unconditionally. That means it's absolute. It's not subject to any conditions. It's unrelenting. God's unfailing love is what can heal the wounds. It's what can heal the brokenness in our lives. It's unconditional. Here's the next one. God's love is sacrificial. It's sacrificial. He gave. He gave his very best. God's love cost him something. He actually expressed it to us by giving his very life. This wasn't just an emotional thing. There was a commitment to it. He committed to love us through sacrifice. And so if we're going to express his love in our lives, you've got to be willing to sacrifice. The next one here, God's love is personable. It's personable. It's not just a philosophy. It's not just an idea. God's love was manifested when he robed himself in flesh, when he came to earth to reveal his love for all of mankind. We can only experience the love of God because of Jesus Christ, the person. And so we have a great privilege today. We have a great opportunity today because God's love is personable. Here's the next one. God's love is acceptable. You can actually receive it. You can accept it into your lives. God's love can become your love. And you may be sitting here this morning saying, well, you don't know my story. You know, I'm unlovable. I don't have the capacity to love. It's been proven time and time again. I've been in so many broken and failed relationships in my life. There must be something wrong with me. I cannot love. Well, guess what this morning? I believe that God wants to give each and every one of us in this room an opportunity to reset the love button in our lives today by receiving him and accepting his love. And I can tell you this, in your own strength, when you have those doubts, you are right. You can't love, but through him, with him living inside of you, you are able then to love. And then lastly, in that first grouping is this, God's love is accessible. It's accessible. It's not just for a limited few. It's not reserved for the perfect. It's not reserved for a certain age demographic. It's not reserved for a certain ethnicity or a certain background or a certain spiritual upbringing or whether you grew up in a good home or a bad home. God's love is accessible for each and every one of us. John 3:16 says that it is for everyone who believes. So here's the big idea this morning. Choosing to believe, making the decision to follow and live for Jesus gives us access to the very love of God. It is in Jesus that we will find and discover everything we need to have and to show uncommon love. And I understand in our lives there are times that we face difficulties in our relationships where it is hard to love. I'd ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to get slapped by your spouse this morning, right? Sometimes our love tank is empty. There are seasons where we're frustrated. There's seasons where we're angry. There are seasons where there's pain because we've been hurt. So some have lived their entire lives and they've never seen love expressed in a proper and in a healthy way. And so you may be thinking here this morning, well, that all sounds great, Andrew, but how in the world am I supposed to give something that I don't know anything about? And so by God, gave some words to us. In 1 John 4, the Apostle John is actually writing to help people succeed at this love thing. He says this starting in verse 9, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. I love this. Verse 10, this is real love. Go ahead and say that, real love. Real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. We're going to jump down, verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. Jumping to verse 16. We know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Verse 19, we love each other because he loved us first. We love because he first loved us. The only way that we will ever have the capacity to truly love others, to love the difficult, to love the awkward, to love those that have hurt us and wounded us and betrayed us is because he first loved us. And the problem our society is facing is that one cannot give what they have not received. You can't give what you've never received. In fact, there's an old saying that says, what's down in the well? So, you know, they used to have the wells where they dropped the bucket. What's down in the well comes up in the bucket. And what's down in the well of our lives, what's down in the well of our hearts will come up in the bucket. But when we invite Jesus and when we have an active relationship with him in our lives, what will happen is our bucket of love is filled with his perfect love. And when that happens, all that we really have to do is let it spill out onto other people. In fact, the more you follow Christ and the deeper you get in your relationship with Him, it'll actually become second nature to love as Christ when we are leaning in to Him. There are many people, maybe I've piqued your interest by this introduction to this message this morning, and you might be sitting here saying, well, I'd like the secret. I'm looking for the secret to fix my family, to fix my marriage, to fix my relationships. But really it all boils down to this. It's the next blank in your outline. The secret of love is being loved by God. The secret of love is being loved by God. When we are facing difficulties in our relationships, the first step of love needs to not be towards them, but instead it needs to be towards Him. So often we're looking at people that we cannot love. I mean, they are crazy, right? There's always that difficult person in your family that's hard to love. They are crazy. Some of you might even be thinking, wait, I've got like three of them in my family. You only have one, right? But what needs to happen is when we see their craziness and we see all the things going on and when we step towards them first, what happens is we become frustrated because on our own, in our own ability, we don't have the capacity to love. But if I will make a step towards God first, through His love, I begin seeing things through God's perspective. And our perspective changes when we begin to see through the lens of God's love. And so we need to learn to see our spouses, to see our children. We need to learn to see that person at work that just gets under our skin, you know, that group of people that you just can't get along with. We need to see them through the lens of Jesus Christ. And when we discover His love, it is then that we are able to deploy uncommon love in all of our relationships. 1 Corinthians 13 is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. In fact, it's one of the chapters in the Bible that I have memorized. This chapter is commonly referred to as the love chapter. You know, it's quoted in weddings. It's inscribed on wall decorations and cards and little knickknacks in homes. And so this passage, what it does is it really breaks down what God's love truly looks like. It helps us actually put this love in a daily perspective. We don't have time to read the whole thing this morning, but we're going to pick up in 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4. Listen to what it says about love. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. Love is not rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wrong. I don't know, when you read that, I'm like, really? Did he have to put that part in there? I mean, if the first five things weren't bad enough, keeps no record of wrong? I mean, I don't know about you, but I like my list. You know, I like my list of the people that have treated me bad. Stay away from that person, right? But instead of dealing with my list, what I need to do is I need to first step towards Jesus Christ. Because listen, Jesus loved me when I was in the wrong. Jesus loved me when I was making mistakes and when I was filled with sin. Jesus still loved me. Going on, verse 6, it does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Verse 7, love never gives up. I want you to hear that this morning. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful, and it endures through every, say every. It endures through every circumstance. The good times, the bad times. The times when you're holding your spouse's hair back so they can throw up and puke doesn't get in their hair. The times when you're both on each other's nerves. Love never fails. It endures every single circumstance. Verse 8, prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will all become useless. In other words, the spiritual things that we think are so important, there's going to come a day when God calls for His church that none of those things are going to matter, but love will last forever. And so when I've surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, and when I'm actively spending time with him, the byproduct is that my reservoir of love is going to grow. And in spite of difficult times, God's love in me will never fail. Because God's love does not fail us. So the secret of love is being loved by God first. The next blank on your outline is this on the back page. Then the secret of having uncommon love in our relationships is showing God's love to others. The way we have uncommon love is when you and I begin to show God's true love instead of our frail, imperfect, humanistic, self-centered, cultural version of love. So this morning, I want to give you some really practical how-tos that'll help you show God's uncommon love. You know, a lot of times you talk about a subject like this, and if you're in counseling, and you know, you'll talk about these things, and a lot of times what we'll do is we tend to make excuses and say things like, well, I'm not going to do that because I wasn't raised that way, or that's not my personality. I'm not a lovey-dovey kind of person. That's not who I am. That's fine for other people, but that's not me. But I want you to hear me loud and clear. This isn't a threat, but this really is my heart for you this morning. It is essential for each of us to realize that if we don't do it, somebody else will. If we don't express it, if we don't express godly love, somebody else is going to express it to those who are important to us. And unfortunately, most of the time, the love they express is not godly love. If we don't love our children, I promise you, they will look for it somewhere else. And the somewhere else that they look for it is going to lead them down the wrong path. If we don't love our spouses as God instructs us, the way that we see it written out in his word, someone is going to come along and give what he has called you to provide all along. So I want you to hear my heart this morning. This is important. This is important. There are four practical, simple things that we can all do to show God's uncommon love. I challenge you, try each and every one of these this week, and I promise you, you will see a difference in your relationships. Here's the first one. Number one, say it. Say it. Say it. I love you. These are the three most important words in any relationship that you have. I love you. Not a love that walks out. Not a love that uses. Not a love that abandons. I'm talking about true love. God's agape love. Listen, our world, our society is starving for love. They need to hear it. Their hearts are so broken and so empty. It's amazing the positive effect that can happen when these three words are present, and the destructive effect that it'll have when those three little words are absent. I love you. Come on, I want you to practice it right now. I want you to say it. I come on, say it again. Say it like you mean it. All right, I love you. I love you. Say it. You can never say it too much. Kids, say it to your parents. Parents, you need to tell your children every day, I love you. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. For goodness sake, say it to your spouse. As a matter of fact, it's even okay to say it to a friend. You know, now I don't go up to guys and go, oh, with blinking eyes, oh, I love you. You know, bro it up a little bit, you know. Love you, what's up? But get your point across. Say it. Say it. Tell the people that are important in your lives how much they mean to you. There's a story told of an old couple who had been married for many years, and they came in, they were having some difficulties, they came in for counseling. The lady was so upset because her husband never said, I love you. And so the counselor asked, why don't you ever tell your wife that you love her? To which he replied, "What does she need? I said it once." Listen, say it every day to the people that are important to you. Can I tell you, if that's the way you are, you don't want to say it, you're uncomfortable saying it, I challenge you, I encourage you, you need to reset. You need a reset on that. Tell the people who are important to you, "I love you." Here's the second thing. Number two, write it. Write it. It's amazing what happens when you put your love into writing. A card and a letter can last a long, long time. I have letters from Shyla from over 21 years ago that she wrote to me while I was serving as a missionary in Africa for a year. In fact, if you would sit down at my desk in the basement, in the top left-hand drawer of my desk, sits a napkin that Shyla snuck into my lunch a year ago. In fact, there's a picture of it behind me. She wrote, "Andrew, I love and appreciate you so much. Thank you for all you do." And listen, you may laugh. I will never use that napkin. That will always sit on my desk. Why? Because it means so much to me. And every time I open that drawer, I'm reminded of her love. And I'm reminded that she sees the things that I'm doing. And so I encourage you, let it become a daily habit. You can even text somebody. You know, we've got these great devices. They're not just for posting divisive things on social media. We can actually use this for good. Text your kids while they're at school. Tell them, "I love you." In fact, parents, stretch yourself a little bit. Go ahead and spice it up. Use some of those fancy emojis, you know, like a kissy face icon or something. Don't be scared. You know, text a friend. You know, sometimes, God, you wake up and, you know, in your quiet time, maybe God will drop one of your friends on your heart, and you just think, "Well, man, that's weird. Why is this friend in my heart?" I'm telling you, that's God dropping them in your mind. Say a prayer for them, and then text them. Say, "Hey, man, I thought about you. I love you, bro. I woke up this morning, and I said a prayer for you. I believe in you. I have a great day." Share it, write it. These are life-changing habits. Say it, write it. Number three, give it. Give it. I'm not talking about extravagantly, although you can still do that. Your significant others and children will love that. But some of the most meaningful gifts are not expensive things. You know, when you give a gift to somebody, it sends a very special message. And the message says, "As I was going through my day, in spite of all of the things that I have going on, I stopped everything. In fact, I stopped at Cops on a freezing cold day and bought you some bark in the dark custard. Come on, somebody." I'm going to give you another PSA announcement. Let me give you a tip. It's important to know your spouse's love language. Know the things that they like. When Shyla and I go into a store, I am constantly watching the things that she stops to look at, the things that she picks up, knowing that I'm not going to buy them right there. For why? Because I'm taking mental notes to remember these things so I can go back on just any day, just because, and buy them for her. When you give a gift, it communicates, "I love you so much. I just had to interrupt my life to get you something, to bring you lunch at work, or to stop at the store and get you something that I know that you would care about." And I promise you that when you do this, it's amazing how just a little gift can bring healing, and it can bring restoration in a broken and in a wounded relationship. Say it, write it, give it. All of these are very hard, I know. Here's the fourth one. Forgive it. Forgive it. After "I love you," the second most important words in your relationship should be, "Will you forgive me? Will you forgive me?" You see, when you love greatly, you will need to forgive and be forgiven greatly. Can I tell you this morning, you are never more like Jesus Christ than when you forgive. You may say, "Andrew, it's hard." You're right. It is difficult. You may say, "Andrew, I'm not the kind of person who forgives easily." There's not one person in this room who would say it's easy to forgive someone when they've been hurt. In order for our relationships to experience uncommon love, we must have a willingness to forgive. Let God love you. Learn to receive God's love and then learn how to give it away. If you've noticed, all four of these things involve action. It involves doing. Love isn't an emotion. If you get anything, I hope you walk out of here today understanding that love is not an emotion. It's giving. It's giving many times even when it's hard. It's sacrificing even when you don't feel like it. And so this morning, I want to encourage each and every one of us in this room, stop being so self-absorbed. Stop being so selfish. This journey isn't meant to be all about you, but rather it's really meant about being obedient to God by loving others, especially the ones that He's placed in your life. And why are these things so critical? Here it is, the last blank in your outline, because it's later than you think. It's later than you think. We don't have all the time in the world. William Shakespeare said, better 3 hours too soon than 1 minute too late. On November 23rd of last year, my beloved grandmother passed away. It was my father's mom. My mother's mother had passed away before I was born, so I never knew her. So she was the only grandmother that I ever knew. A few days earlier, my aunt and my uncle had called to tell me that Grandma wasn't doing well and she didn't have much time. So we dropped everything, canceled everything. In fact, I think we had life group that night. Mark was there. We should have been there, but we ended up canceling. I dropped everything and raced out to the hospice center where they were keeping her, and I was dismayed to discover that she was unresponsive. I was so despondent to realize that I wouldn't get the opportunity to have one last conversation with her. On the day she passed, I penned and posted to social media words to my grandmother. Many people commented on how touching the tribute was. But my heart hurts because over the last few years, there were many days that I told myself, I need to go see Grandma. I need to go talk to her. I need to go tell her how much I love her. But every week I kept postponing it, saying, well, I'll do it next week. I'm too busy this week. I'll do it next week. And 1 year turned into two and it turned into three. And I missed the opportunity. Had I only taken the time, I could have told her those words that I wrote myself. If only I had one more day. If only I had one more time to laugh with her, one more time to share a funny story, one more time to tell her how much she meant to me, how much of a difference she made in my life. Tell you what, that day made a mark in my soul. Can I tell you this morning, it is later than you really think it is. I know your kids seem so little and college seems so far away, but in a blink of an eye, they're gone. I know you think that you may always have your spouse and your spouse will always be there, but it's later than you think because no man knows the day or the hour, the time that God has given the people we love to spend on earth. And so I encourage you this morning, say it. Say I love you. Write it. Give it. And let's forgive. Let's do everything we can to share God's uncommon love and let those around us know that we love them. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you say, you know, Andrew, all of this sounds great and I feel the emotion of it, but I can't share this uncommon love because I've never received it. If you're sitting here this morning and you feel like you're a long way off from God, a long way off from where you should be, listen, you don't have to feel that way. As we read in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. God's love came to us. It was meant to be experienced. It's accessible for you today. You can say yes and walk out of here a brand new person filled with his love. You can invite him into your life and it will transform you. He will transform you from the inside out, like we read earlier. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to invite the love of God into your life, a chance to hit the reset button, a chance to begin a new relationship with him. And so if that's where you're at, I want to pray for you this morning. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't want anyone looking around right now. But if you want to say yes to the love of God, if you want to say yes to what he has for your life, if you'd love to have this uncommon love, would you just lift your hands up right now? Thank you. There's hands all over. Thank you. So many hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the best decision that you could ever make. You can put your hands down. Let's all stand together. Just a moment. We're going to pray. After we're finished praying, we're going to sing one more song together. Once the song starts, we'll have some of our prayer team here in front. If you need prayer for any area of your life, they're here. But this is what I'd like you to do. I'd like each of us just to begin to talk to God. I know this message has hit some of you very hard. I can see it. There are tears in this place. There are people that they are moved. The Holy Spirit is moving on you. And so I encourage you, don't just run out of here, but let the Holy Spirit do his work in you. So I encourage you to pray with me. Lift your voice. Just begin to talk to God. If you don't know the words to say, you can feel free to repeat after me. But I want everyone to pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for loving me even when I was unlovable. Lord, I thank you for coming to earth to die so that my...
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.